I have 4 o'clock or just a hair bit after. This is the Rancho Marietta Community Services District regular board meeting, February 17th. Amelia, could we take care of item number one, a roll call, please?
Present, maybe.
Present.
Director Danko.
Here.
Director Butler.
Here.
Here.
Director Paul.
Here.
Welcome.
Thank you, Amelia. Item two is consider adoption of the agenda. With that, I'm going to make a motion to adopt the agenda. With that motion, I'm going to add in that item number 13, consider approval to support addition to the RMA Association Parks Committee be removed from the agenda. That's my motion. Could I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director Janko.
I think we need a roll call vote, Amelia.
Director Mabee?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Pohl?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Moving to item number three, this is closed session. We have two issues under closed session. What we're going to do is at this point, if everyone would just stand by for just a moment, we have to switch the host responsibilities. So Amelia, if you would go ahead and do that so that the GM has the host responsibilities and the rest of us will sit tight. After the closed session, it'll be open session starting at 5 p.m. This evening.
Session starts now.
Very good. I need to, I'm pausing the recordings. And we are now recording the meeting. Thank you for waiting.
Thank you, everybody. Sorry we ran a little long in the closed session. But just to reiterate, this is February 17th, 2021. This is a regular board meeting for the Rancho Marietta Community Service District. We are at agenda item number four, which is report out actions from closed session. I have no actionable items to report on closed session number three. So to that extent, we're going to move on to item number five, which is the consent calendar. I'm making a motion to accept the consent calendar. Do I have a second?
So moved.
Is that you, Director Janko?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Roll call vote. President Mabee?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Pohl?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. We're moving on to item number six, which is staff reports. 6A, Tom, I believe that's you.
Yes, good evening and thank you. This is Tom Henry, General Manager, and I'm going to go through the General Manager report. Not really a whole lot going on. Our COVID, we maintain a status of working from home as possible. We have not opened up the district offices and until Sacramento County lifts the stay-at-home order essential services mandate, we will continue this practice of running the meetings on Zoom, and we are practicing social distancing and all the important ways to stay safe and healthy here in the office. And we've had no recent outbreaks of any sort with COVID. For Laguna Joaquin, I received a 7-page letter from the RMA today. I've yet to have time to kind of go through it and make our comments. It's something that we'll bring to, I believe, the improvements committee meeting in order to develop a response. So I really don't have anything to say about that because I haven't had time to review it. It looks like we have the cameras going in for the village off the light pole there off their entryway next week. So I'm happy to see that finally happening. And then other than that, there's been other than general conversations over Laguna Joaquin and such, there's been no reportable activity with the RMA over the past couple weeks. Paul attended meetings with the Sacramento Central Groundwater Authority and the Food Resource Conservation District this past week. And both agencies are in the process of trying to figure out what they want to charge the different entities that they can charge to and how they're going to make that happen. So Paul's paying close attention to that so we can make sure that they don't say, and Rancho Marietta is going to be paying this much and not have a voice in the room to say, time out, we don't think that's going to be right for us. And then as the Regional Water Authority meetings occur, Paul is attending those as well. Paul and I had a productive meeting with the Sacramento County Planning Division last week, actually on February 4th, 2 weeks ago. And for me, it was kind of an introductory opportunity. The former GM had a variety of meetings with the county, and I was not involved in those meetings. And now, as in this role, I need to become involved. And what we've learned is the county is pretty tricky and complicated to deal with, but it appears that the planning division is kind of the one who that part of the county is, knows the most about what's going on in general, but they work very closely with the regional parks, the engineering survey section, and the engineering site improvement and permitting section. So they're going to help us as we have questions, as we unwind and the conditions of approval for Riverview, which is what my main focus is, to have a clear understanding of where the district needs to be paying close attention as this development is brought forward. And things like pipes under the ground and manholes to at some point become district property and district requirements to maintain. I want to make sure that we properly inspect that. We're not stuck with something that we later regret. Paul will tell you that we really have to pay attention to those things. To this point, are there any questions? Okay. Any hands, Amelia?
No hands.
This is John. I have a question. One of the things that I couldn't pick out of the conditions of approval is there is some type of negotiated road maintenance agreement that we would have with Riverview as they put wear and tear on our, probably in this case, on the Murrieta South Parkway. We had an experience in the first go around with these people that initially there was a significant amount of damage by the volume and the weight of the equipment going back and forth towards the developments on the south. Part of that resulted in damage to the street itself, and part of it resulted in damage to some of the infrastructure underneath the street. So we need to understand with RMA or somebody, number one, what the conditions of that agreement are with Riverview, and secondly, proportionately, how do we share in that with RMA?
Okay.
So may I comment on that? This is Paul Stevenson.
Go ahead, Paul.
So roadways, the private roadways there are homeowner association roadways, and I believe they have a road mitigation fee as it relates to development projects. So I believe they would be having some sort of agreement or charge in relation to whatever development impacts would occur there.
Well, I guess my question there would be, you know, as it did, if I remember correctly, result in damage to infrastructure that was underneath, how do we factor into that?
If I understand your question, Director Merchant, Paul, the question would be, do we have a process in place for mitigation fees for our responsibility as well? I think that's what he's looking for.
Not as it relates to current infrastructure, but if we could show that there was damages that were done, then we'd have to utilize Mr. Shanahan's services, I believe, to figure that out.
Okay, so Director Merchant, let me kind of throw this out. Tom, this is to you. Would we be able to take a snapshot of our infrastructure system as we know it at that point in time, and then as we get ready to close out, or as RMA is starting to close out from that standpoint, we would take another snapshot in time? And obviously, if everything stays the same, we're good. If there are some changes, now we have the evidence, and we can either address it. Well, we will address it with the developer and either get it taken care of, or at least we've done our due diligence to move it to the next phase, whether it's working with Mr. Shanahan's office or not. I guess, is that something that you're looking at, John? And would that work for us?
Yeah, I'm not particularly interested in getting into the process itself, but I just want some kind of a general agreement, which I think would be between ourselves and RMA, that because we had this experience last time, that, you know, we would have some kind of recourse if, in fact, we were able to determine that was damage to the infrastructure under the streets, you know, whether it be water or sewer. So we would be reimbursed for those fixes. Maybe it's a matter of I don't know what the negotiation process is on the physical street mitigation or the construction mitigation itself. But if there is a negotiation to go on there, I just want everybody to understand that there's some possibility that there would be damage to our stuff as well as to the road itself.
All right, understand. So Tom, my thought process is, would we be able to, in our next meeting with RMA at your level, carry this forward to them? And then this will just be one of those task items, and whether it falls into field operations as development moves forward or stays at your level, this is just one of those items that we make sure we address up front with RMA, and then what that closeout procedure is. And then we'll just get a status from that standpoint as we move forward with development. Does that make sense to you, Tom?
It does make sense. And I'm just, don't want to drag this on too long, but I'm curious, are we talking, John, from your awareness, or maybe Paul, your comment, are we talking about infrastructure that's currently underneath these roads that are currently operational, or talking about infrastructure that gets put into place and then they have failure on the roads as they build out the development, or is it both?
No, I'm addressing specifically their entrance through the south gate and they're traversing down to the site itself. In part of the south, we had, if I recall, we had some alternative entrances, but I think in this case, and unless I'm mistaken, we don't have any. So they're going to be over the 2.5 year period of time with heavy equipment traveling across our existing infrastructure. And I just want to make sure that anything that results from that 2.5 years is something that we're compensated for. The other part of that, you can do it now as opposed to in the security part. When you look back at Noller's old reports on traffic through the south gate, you'll see exactly what the impact of that is, because when the south became more fully developed, that traffic fell off dramatically, and I mean really dramatically. So there's going to be a 2.5 year period of of an intense amount of traffic that we don't normally experience that comes through that gate. I don't know what that means to us from a cost standpoint, but I just want to make sure we understand the nature of that every morning for 5 days a week, sometimes six, you know, however many people it takes to build those houses are going to be coming through the gates, plus all that heavy equipment that comes with it, all the outside contractors and that stuff. So it's just something to think about going forward.
Yes.
Go ahead, Director.
Okay. I just wanted to, this is something I wanted to bring up a bit ago. And I think it kind of fits in here. I think that up until recently, we've been pretty used to the developers handing us something or asking for something or generally, you know, not having a system to approach CSD with, RMCSD with. And so I'm going to see if or recommend that if we can't have regular development meetings with all three of the developers who are working in Rancho Marietta right now. And that is would be the point where they would bring up whatever it is that's going on in the moment and what they're planning in the future. And even topics like this, you know, have there been any reports of damage to this or that or the roads or the entrance or any of those kinds of things? And I think it might be a better way to stay on top of this stuff instead of waiting until, you know, 2 years from now and things are falling apart or things didn't turn out quite as we expected them to. And then we have to go back and either prove it or not prove it or, you know, redo the whole thing or get involved in extensive he said, she said types of stuff. So it's just an idea, but I honestly think that a once a month meeting at this point would be something that would be really a good idea. Does anybody else have a thought on that?
We can definitely look at starting to have revisit those developer meetings.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to open this up to the other board members. My thought process is, you know, I'm calling it a snapshot of our system, but as Director Merchant's saying, really, we can look at 2020, and maybe that's a bad example, so we go to 2019, and we can determine what the traffic flow is in and out of the south. Now, once development starts, we see what the traffic flow is, because again, every time a gate arm goes up and down, you know, there's wear and tear, and what's that cost, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think we can identify some of those issues. We can identify where our concerns are to the developers before things move forward, and as well as with RMA. The same items with our current infrastructure related to both RMA and CSD. Tom, do you think you have enough direction on where the board's coming from on this issue?
Yes, thank you.
Any other board members specific to the developer issue? Okay, not hearing any. Tom, would you continue, please?
Yes, thank you. The next item on my report addresses the security opinion survey. I've reported out that we received four responses earlier, and we have an item today to discuss awarding a contract to a company called True North Incorporated. And this was taken to the Finance Committee earlier, and we can talk about it in any detail later on in this meeting. Then also, I'm happy to say, and it literally was a COVID-related issue, we had to delay getting into the Melrose CFD 2014 and other financial aspects with that developer because one of their key employees had to battle COVID and is coming back. And so we actually finally have meetings set up to start unwinding that financial web and trying to come up with a conclusion to where we're at with the funding that helped provide the water treatment plant upgrade, and as well as other financial issues related to that group of people. We've had some security meetings. We're working to schedule additionals and trying to get into a rhythm of having the joint security meetings. Tina Talamontes, who's been with us for a couple months now, has been really helpful to push forward regular communications between all the aspects of businesses and residents and associations here at Rancho Marietta. I'm happy to say that we have contracted with Community Reserves. They're called Association Reserves. I typed that wrong this morning. They're the same company that did our reserve study in 2015, and we're going to start working on a reserve, the process of developing a new reserve study next week. We have a couple meetings scheduled, and they're going to come in, give us their direction of what they need from us, and then we're going to be doing a complete inventory of district assets over the next few weeks. And so that should help us get the reserve study in front of us before we have to make some final budget decisions this year.
Tom, I have a question on that item.
Okay.
Is this more of a fiscal issue, or is it more of a improvements issue? So I guess my comment or question is, who would oversee this? What committee? Would it be on the fiscal side, or would it be on improvement side?
On the fiscal side.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Very much affecting what goes on in improvements, because that's where all the big money is spent with the infrastructure that Paul oversees.
So,
and then engineering services RFP, engineering inspection services, and those responses are due this Friday. The same thing for on-call electrical services, due this Friday. And this is to get consistent support for district infrastructure, especially with the electrical services. The district spends a lot of money keeping a lot of the older equipment alive and up and running. And so we wanted to get into an agreement that could maybe give us a favorable cost point, but also give somebody the contract whereby they do on-call services exclusive, for us for the next 3 years. This is pretty standard. I want to give a general staffing update over the past 2 months. Again, we've been receiving a lot of record requests. Is there a question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Butler, go ahead.
You're just whipping through this. I just wondered on that engineering services or the on-call electrical services, that will they be employed by us, or are they just simply on call type? I'm not sure I understand exactly how they're going to provide their services.
It'll be an electric company in the region, presumably nearby, who, when we have things like problems with the DAF electricity or one of the lift station electrical boxes or the vast amount of electrical equipment that Paul needs to run the water treatment and the wastewater treatment plant, as well as the delivery of the water and the wastewater, all those have electrical equipment involved, and it's complicated. And some of the stuff, Paul, how old was the 6B lift station that we replaced recently?
So that was over 30 years old, about 30.
And how much was the equipment?
Put me on the spot there. I think that was about $45,000, if I recall.
So we have,
there's a lot more within that station. Yeah.
So we had a 30-year-old piece of equipment that was generating a lot of on-call electrical support that eventually we had to replace. And there's a lot of equipment out here that's old, but it's functional if we have the right electrician working on it. And we've been using primarily a single electrical company, but they generate so much expense for the district, we really needed to go out to RFP and do a competitive rate. So that's what this is. It's not, they won't be having an office here, they'll be on call.
So will they be paid by the number of calls that we make, or will they be paid in a general X amount of dollars per month, or how does that work out?
It'll be, I believe it'll be an hourly rate. Am I correct, Paul?
It's going to depend. So we're going to have a rate schedule with them that they're going to have hourly rates for on-call services. But if we have larger projects, we're going to get bids from them on those projects so we can stay within budgets with them.
So hourly rates for small projects or small independent instances, let's say, and then a bid for anything bigger, anything big.
That's the intent, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have one chat, if I may.
Please go ahead.
And I think that your question has been answered, Les. He says on-call contract services. So I think that we can discuss that.
So in a lot of these phone calls we make happen on the weekend, and we have a sewer lift station that goes off line for some electrical purpose on Friday afternoon. We don't let it build up through the weekend. We call somebody and get it dealt with right away.
So, absolutely. I understand that. I was just trying to figure out how we were going to pay them.
Yeah. Any other questions? So then let me go back. Over the past couple months, we've received a lot of PRA requests, and I need to correct something. I said something some time ago whereby one of the larger requests we had, I said something like they pulled their request. They didn't pull the request. They greatly reduced the scope of their request. And the quote I gave to Gail for the River Valley Times was incorrect, and I apologize for that. But the request still has a large number of emails that we have to review. And let me explain why we have to review them. If there's an activity that happens in security whereby a juvenile does something and in our report, we list the name, we have to remove that name from the report. And in order to do that, you have to read everything that's in every email. And then you find something, you have to black it out or redact it. If somebody's address is commonly brought up, you have to eliminate the addresses. So if you see in Amelia's report, it'll say Lago Drive, but it won't say what address on Lago Drive had a big party and stuff like that. There's stuff that we're not allowed to release in general for a general public records request. And we're working with Dick Shanahan to make sure that our parameters are followed correctly by law.
Tom, I have a comment on that. So I strongly, and I'm sure all the board members do, strongly support the Public Records Act, but there is a cost to it. And what I mean by cost, it does take staff time. And historically, when you have a Public Records Act, from my experience, 30 plus years in government, a individual or group of individuals have an agenda and they're looking for something. And again, it's their right. Now the difficulty comes is we have to provide that information. As the board president, and I'd have the other board members please make a comment, you're going to have to make those decisions. What is the highest priority? And what I mean by cost is it does take staff time. So something's not going to get done. Deadlines are not going to be made. And I've had the conversation with you, and I just want the general public to understand when we kind of put a timeline forward, or we have objectives that we're going to achieve in a certain amount of time, and we're pushing those timelines back, please understand it's not because of the inability of staff. It's because in this case, a PRA has come forward, and in some cases that's going to be a higher priority. So just understand for the general public, the process that we have and what we have to work with. We have a very limited amount of staff and a very defined amount of staff that's capable of doing this sensitive work. So to that end, we still have a community service district to run. And we still have a public records request at over 8,000 emails to review. So to that end, something has to give, and just that's my comment. So continue on, please.
Tim?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
I appreciate the degree of professionalism when you are talking about this. We do have to try and respond to these things. I'm just hoping that the community is aware of what this is, you know, potentially going to cost. And I don't mean in dollars, but like you said, in time and energy and effort. And that it's not a frivolous request.
No, and I agree with that, Director Butler. It's just, it's one of those, it's good that the general manager put it in his staff report. It's just that type of information of responsibility that the district has on multiple mm-hmm. levels of fulfilling it and running the district as well. So that's a point I wanted to get across. Go ahead, Tom.
I do have, if I may, I do have a hand raised.
Amelia, yes, go ahead, please.
Crystal Matter.
So 2 points of clarification here. First, Tom, no, the request, and it wasn't by me, was not reduced, nor was it withdrawn, as was stated in the article. It was suspended. So that's not accurate, even in the correction. And then number two, some of the PRA requests, and two of them came from me, date back 4 months. So while I appreciate that the board is prioritizing some responses over others, and it has various priorities that it's dealing with, 4 months far surpasses the 10-day deadline for responding to PRA requests. So I appreciate the efforts, and I've been trying to work with Tom on these things, but I wanted to make sure that full explanation was given on that particular issue.
To that extent, I appreciate the clarification. I'm confused on one of the PRA requests that you didn't do, on how that was suspended, or you're commenting on it, but I'll figure that out through staff. I truly understand the frustrations. I absolutely understand that there is state statute, but I'm here to tell you it is what it is. And we are moving forward to the best that we can. I understand that you may not agree with our, when I say our, the district's priorities, and that's okay, as long as we're doing our due diligence and moving forward from that standpoint. So thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
Again, if I may, we do have another hand raised.
Yes, please.
Andrew Ramos, who is sitting in for Mr. Richard Shanahan this evening as our legal counsel. Go ahead, Andrew.
Director, maybe I just wanted to note, I'm assisting Mr. Hennig with responding to some of these PRA requests. And I did want to confirm that the district is being proactive in trying to work with the requester and reducing the scope of his request under the assumption that, like district staff, the requester does not want to review 8,000 plus emails and is going to work with us on trying to reduce the scope to get it down to a manageable size to get him whatever he is after. I also wanted to confirm that under state law, the 10-day requirement for the California Public Records Act, that 10-day requirement requires the district to acknowledge and respond initially to a request, but it does not require the district to produce documents within 10 days. In many cases, that is simply impossible. And I think that the request for over 8,000 emails is a perfect example of that fact. So I am confirming I'm assisting the district with this request, and we are being proactive and working through it, but the request is still pending at this time.
Mr. Ramos, thank you very much. That gives me a little bit more clarification on a couple of questions I had. So
thank you
for that. And again, that's some of that explanation to the community. Just because a Public Records Act is been placed upon the district, it's if we're still working with legal counsel on this, that's part of the process. And so we just need to know that moving forward. I think it's appropriate that it's in the GM's report. Tom, I'd probably ask that you keep that in your GM report moving forward for maybe the next couple of regular board meetings, so we can just get updated on the status of it as we move forward, if you would.
Absolutely.
Okay, continue on.
Okay, and then the next part of that is under general staffing, is we continue to recruit for the accounting supervisor, and we are recruiting for the director of administration. That recruitment closes next week. The county supervisor is open until filled. And then we still have one patrol officer vacancy that we're recruiting for. The last thing is, the second last thing is, you know, you can see here opportunities for education and stuff. And it looks like, you know, there are some things that look like they're going to try to do in-person meetings, but still everything is Zoom. But the 2021 District Special Leadership Academy down in San Diego in April, I don't see that happening. The General Manager Leadership Summit in late June, we'll have to wait and see if that really happens live. And then there's the Water Agency conference that Paul generally goes to. I'm sure that'll be virtual. And then if there's anything I'm missing, we can add these to them. And then for employee announcements, kudos, such. David Labrado had done a really good job. There was a fire in the Villas over the week, couple weekends ago, and an elderly resident was immediately displaced. David was able to do the research and find a family member to assist with her location. He did a really good job. Tina had some good things to say about him. So he kind of on his own did a little bit more than what you would normally ask someone to do. And we want to compliment David on his efforts. And then Amelia, I just want to let everybody know, she doesn't need any sympathy from anybody right now. She's headed to Disney World tomorrow. And she's going to have a nice week-long vacation chasing Mickey around. So good for Amelia.
Very, very good, Tom. I think a couple of things on the employee announcement. Yes, absolutely. I could not say enough or comment enough on one of our district employees doing something like that regarding to the condo fire. That's where we want to be in our customer service. That brings the community portion back to the community service district. And so that's a reflection not only of the community, but the employees and that cannot be understated. The other item you mentioned on Amelia, I thought she mentioned she was already at Disney World just dealing with some of the Mickey Mouse stuff, but I think she was talking to me, but that's a whole different issue. Amelia, do we have, as we leave item 6A, do we have any hands, chats, or anything?
I have a chat, Crystal Matter. To be clear, the requester has not actually reduced the request. So let's not make that representation to the community. Additionally, I have one from Scott Adams. Thank you. Great job, David Labrado.
Okay, I guess I'm not going to entertain on the comment about the PRA. I think legal counsel made that very clear for us. I would probably defer to legal counsel over a community member in this case, just because legal counsel, we've charged him to move forward with it and give us direction. Very good. Thank you, Tom. Anything else on your report before we move on to 6B?
No, I'm good.
Thank you. 6B is administration financial report. I believe that's Cindy.
Yes. This is Cindy Chow. I'm just going to point out the financial highlights in January 2021. In January 2021, we have zero lockdown. And in January, we have one more pay agreement. So total right now, we have two pay agreements set up. And we have zero connection in January 2021. Moving on to aging report section, if you have any questions regarding this section, please send us an email, because Michelle has been working on this, and he is currently on vacation. If you send us the email, we will get back to you with in a timely manner. And moving on to
Cindy, excuse me. Amelia, would you mute everybody, please? Because of the background noise, and then Cindy can unmute herself.
Hello? Can I?
Hi, Cindy, we can hear you.
Okay. All right. So we add a new section called ebills/paper statements. And Tom asked me to add this new section to the finance report. So we're going to report the amount of e-bills and paper statements on a daily basis, on a monthly basis now. So in January 2021, we have 509 e-bills and 2,413 paper statements. And moving on to the reserve account section, in January, as of January 31st, 2021, the ending balance of district reserve accounts is $6,784,177, which is an increase of $54,875 compared with prior month. Moving on to the I'm just going to point out the revenue. The district overall, expenditures. The district's overall expenditures as of the January 31st, 2021, are $532,986. And if you want to see the details, we also attached the budget to actual reports and for different funds. If you have any questions, please ask or send me an email. And in January 2021, we have one reserve fund purchase that authorized by the general manager, which is the $9,177 for removing the cabinets and painting the admin building, copy room, and the room next to general manager's office. The money is coming out of the admin capital replacement reserve. That is the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Cindy. Any board members, any questions? Not hearing any. Amelia, do I have any hands or chats or anything on the
no chats?
Thank you. Moving on to 6C, security report. I believe that is Tina.
And Tina is here with me now. By the way, everybody, the budget to actual report was posted. It's on the internet. So if you want to dig into that, it is on the website under tonight's board meeting packet.
Thank you, Amelia.
Go ahead, Tina.
Okay, hello, this is Tina, interim security chief. In regards to the operations updates, we still have PDF staff to support the security gate and patrol until vacancies are filled. I have a patrol officer applicant currently in the background process, so we're awaiting results for that. We just finished interviews today for the gate officer positions, and we are looking at which person we will choose for the position we have available. The Ford Ranger just went in today actually to be outfitted for final items on it. We are still completing the upgrade for the body-worn camera systems. There's just a little glitch in the server and getting the software downloaded so we can review everything. We're still working on that with our IT. And reinstating the program for issuing county citations for parking, handicap, and fire zone violations. We met with Danny at the Sheriff's Department and went over some things with him. He will be getting back to us next week, but we currently have the citations that we picked up from the county in regards to this, but we had a lengthy discussion with him and we just have to meet with Tim about that. So, and then later on, we will have the policy approval for the body-worn cameras for the final approval on that, and Tom will discuss that. In regards to the Rancho Murrieta Association activity, we still respond to general calls for service, and we do the general non-architectural enforcement. Last month, we conducted one enforcement mission per week for stop sign enforcement, and about three enforcement missions per week for speed. And those again are only during the daytime hours. And we are now working with the RMA compliance officer for enforcement activities so we can work with them jointly. We had a meeting with RMA in regards to this, and we look forward to working with Chris, the compliance officer. And it was very productive with that on things that we want to do. So Murrieta Village activity, we do our regular patrol activity, and Tom already touched on the village entry cameras that are scheduled to be installed next week, hopefully. And the Rancho Murrieta Commercial Owners Association activity, again, that's in regards to the cameras, and we still have yet to set up a meeting with the association south of the highway. We're working on that. And next, we have the incidents of note for the month of January. One of the main highlights was on January 21st, Sergeant Tompkins responded to the report of a suspicious vehicle pulling a trailer. When he responded out there, there was a truck with a trailer attached to it, and people were loading up cabinets from one of the new homes. One of the vehicles took off, and out of the three guys, only one was apprehended. The Sheriff's Department responded for the investigation on that, and the cabinets were returned to the home. We did get some video, but the video wasn't very clear. And January 26th and 27th is when we had the big storm. We had 13 calls related to the storm in a 24-hour period. It was everything from tree limbs blocking the roadways and down stop signs. There was also a tree that uprooted and fell on the OE3 building, which brought down a power line. Fire responded, and so did SMUD for the repair. Overtime was authorized, so we had a couple of patrol officers during that time to assist with the additional patrol calls that were coming in. And on January 31st, there was a fire in the 7,000 block of Murrieta Parkway. It was a house fire. We responded to assist the fire department with traffic control. And that is the incident where David Labrado quickly was able to assist the elderly resident in relocating her with family. And on patrol coverage on January 21st, there was no patrol coverage from 9:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. due to a patrol officer who was involved in an accident on his way to work, and PDF security was not available either. I was on call at that point, and there was nothing significant that occurred during the night. And then on to the next item, we have the RMA violation summary report, as you can see, for the month of January. We have 6 motor vehicle violations, 17 parking violations, 8 park hours curfew violations, and a couple of other violations for working days and hours, total of 33. And the next one is the gate entries by type. As you can see, we had a total of 12,212 entries into Rancho Murrieta. Gate entries denied, we had a total of 52. And it's typical we have the most vendors after hours that are denied when we keep track of those. And then the last one, we have a new report that I added to my report, and that is the total cases that are in our system. And it does include refused entries, but all the rest are responding to resident complaints, follow-up, extra patrol, disturbances, everything else that we actually respond to. And that we had a total of 267 case incident reports that were filed. Any questions?
Thank you, Tina. I'll open it up to other board members. Any other board members have any questions or comments on staff report for security? Not hearing any. I have a couple. One, I'm going to direct it to Director Merchant. If you look at the gate entry information, that could be our snapshot, John, of what you were talking about. Once construction starts or development starts, that gate entry to the south, and let's just call them either construction or guest entry, we have that kind of snapshot. Obviously, whether January 2021 is an average year or average month, at least is going to give us a snapshot. So once development starts, we're going to be able to track that. We can probably give staff direction to you know, really get a feel for it. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. That might be one of the ways that we let the developers know this is how we're going to get a feel for understanding the usage on our system. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does, Tim. And I can point Tina back to all of that historical data that we have, because way back all the way into, you know, early 2000s, before that, I think even, we used to do an annual report to the board that the chief would do. And those are still available. And I've done work with some of those that Noller did throughout the construction of the south originally, and those gate entries go up not just significantly, they go up astronomically. I mean, there were a lot of people in here. So yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that.
Perfect. Very good. And again, since Tina's been on board and her leadership in this process, this was all information available that we're just now finding we had access to, and now she's making that information to us. The other thing I want to point out to the board that I think is, and Tina brought out, that really is going to give the community a snapshot of what CSD does, is the new report that she's putting out, and that's the cases breakdown by type. Again, I really don't have words to express my frustration that this was available to us and it's never been brought forward. But this is what happens when we bring a professional in and we set expectations and they're being met. The other thing I want to thank Tina for is, and this goes to Tom as well, and probably even into Paul's area of responsibility, with the latest storm front that we had come through on 26th, 27th, they were proactive, knew that the demands of the community were going to be above what the minimums are, and they became proactive on it. And to that, I want to thank staff because, again, we have community service district as our title, and we just haven't had this in the past, and we're now making strides in the right direction. So to that extent, thank you. Amelia, do you have any hands waving, chattering, or anything?
No, I do not.
Okay. Tina, do you have anything else to add to your report?
No, I don't have anything else.
All right, thank you so much. Moving on to 6D, utilities report. Paul, I believe that's you.
That's me. So good evening, everyone. As it relates to water treatment, we're continuing to run plant number two and finishing up maintenance on plant number one. Plant number one's our ultrafiltration membrane plant, and we nearly have all the fiber repairs completed. We anticipate getting that back and running probably around in May. Demand's been about typical. For last month, it was 0.82 million gallons per day as far as a demand rate. So that's pretty typical. And then if you scroll down to the graph, Amelia, you can see that our gallons per capita per day is pretty much on track versus our baseline year of 2013. It was up a little bit. But we believe that's related to a lot of people working from home, schooling from home, so just more people being home in general. And that's why those uses are going up. It's going to be very interesting to see when we go back to whatever the norm is in the future, how that may drop down. And so scrolling on, Amelia, if you show the administration gallons used for the residences, it's pretty comparable to the previous year, so not a big difference there. And then on commercial, also about the same as well. And scrolling down to water source supply, so we're continuing to fill our reservoirs. You can see the graph is finally starting the upturn. We've got some rain and flow in the river, and we're at a point where within our water right, we're able to pump within any various scenario of our pumping scenarios once the river's over 70 CFS. So currently we could pump up to 45 CFS. And so Tom set up a coordinated test with SMUD where we would test all of our pumping scenarios. And we ended up running three of our 500 horsepower pumps at the same time and getting that tested out to see how it would work and how much water it would pump in that period of time. And so currently within our, utilizing our 225 horsepower pumps right now, we'd fill our reservoirs in about 73 days. And we currently have about 103 days left in our pumping season. If we ran the three 500 horsepower pumps, we'd fill in 17 and a half days. So we'd fill very quickly, but our goal is at the end of May 31st to have the reservoirs topped off to the top of the stop log. So on the graph, that's that top very thin orange line that we want the reservoirs to get to come May 31st when we're heading into the hot summer months. So we're investigating to see what that cost is gonna be. So our SMUD representative is figuring that out. And we hope to have some information to report back to our improvements committee once we get that information available.
So, Paul, excuse me, this is Tim. Mm-hmm. I wanna say, so I understand everything you just said, and that makes sense to me, especially with the larger pump that we have. I know the Director Janko made a comment, and I don't know if it was followed up in improvements. And I wanna say it was almost last year or might have been the year before where the thought process was, I understand why we have the size pump we have, but would it make more sense to potentially split the size of that with two pumps, et cetera, et cetera. So as we move forward with this, getting the information for SMUD, and again, I don't mean to jump into improvements area. I just know that Director Janko mentioned something about it, that maybe staff can add on to this a recommendation. Do we keep that size pump or do we do something different? That's my only point. Thank you. Continue on.
Sure. And just to give you a heads up, so we currently have the three 500 horse pumps are there. They were originally built, and then later two 125 horsepower pumps, which are smaller, obviously, and then have a smaller amperage demand charge on the system, were installed. And that was because the district didn't have a full build out demand at that point, and they wanted to save money. And that's why we believe that was put in. So I don't have any documentation on it. That's just an assumption I've made. So that's what they've already done that in the past. And that's why we typically utilize those 125 horsepower pumps, so we don't get that excessive demand charge. But in the future, you know, we'll be running those 500s all the time.
Okay. No, understand. Thank you.
Yep. If you could scroll down, Amelia. And also we had the Department of Water Resources Division of Safety of Dams out here to inspect our dams. They come out every year. The big thing this year is that every 3 years they have to witness every valve being cycled on the dam. So there's upstream and downstream valves that say you had an emergency and you had to release all the water out of the dams, that you were able to do so through a valving system. And these valves are massive and it took an entire day, and they all work. So that's a good thing. And we typically cycle those ourselves and then give them the information. But this year they wanted to see those witnessed in person. So that went well. There was just a minor a few to-dos pointed out as it relates to rodent control on the Chesbro Dam. So we're gonna have to do some work there. Other than that, everything went fairly well as it relates to that. And then scrolling down to the water supply and forecast, as I've already mentioned, we're continuing the pump from the river. The river's sustaining above 70 CFS, that's cubic feet per second. So we're good to pump in our various scenarios right now and anticipate it. And we're anticipating it's gonna stay that way, hopefully. So if you scroll down a little, Amelia, that drought, you know, outlook. So this graph or this display item right here shows that drought's looking like it's going to persist in our area of the country, which isn't a good thing. And that's what is released from the NOAA folks who do most of the weather reporting. And so that's not really good, but as long as the river stays sustained, the snowpack looks pretty decent and continues to feed the watershed and keep that river above 70 CFS, we will be pumping in our current scenario. And as I mentioned, fill in about 73 days and then continue just to pump to top off the reservoirs until the end of the season. And hopefully it stays that way. So that's where we are as far as drought outlook. Any questions with that, anyone?
No hands raised, no chats.
Okay. On the wastewater treatment side, everything's pretty normal there. As it rains, we get a little more inflow with INI. So wastewater flows were up. Last month, we obviously got some rain, and that so helped raise those flows, as well as all the people working and schooling from home. We're going to increase those flows a little bit. So our average was about 433,000 gallons per day received at the wastewater facility. And as you see in the graph, that's showing that we're going to start filling our reservoirs as the blue line showing. And then again, for everybody's informational purposes, that secondary wastewater storage that we store is then in the summer months converted into tertiary recycled water that is utilized for golf course irrigation. And then at some point in the future, once we get a lot more and those peaks on the graphs get much higher, we're going to start sending them to other places within the community as well, such as the Murrieta Gardens. If you start scrolling down, Amelia. We had no issues on the sewer collection side of things. On the drainage side of things, we had that storm that was forecasted with heavy winds and rains. It didn't end up being as brutal as the weather forecasters were saying. However, all the due diligence we did with messaging out in the community, a lot of help with Tom and Amelia putting the information on Facebook and Nextdoor and our webpage, helped the community, you know, get the word out to the community to keep their own gutters and drains clear. So we didn't really get any calls from residences, which is pretty amazing. And then all our drainage systems worked very well, and we pretty much had no issues and just had to do some cleanup after the heavy winds knocked down a lot of branches. And the RMA, just kudos to them as well. They had staff out there. I mean, before the sun came up, already removing branches and debris out. So they did a great job as well, getting the streets and drain inlets clear. So that did everybody did well. Metering work was pretty typical. Just a few meters and MXUs were replaced. And then we had 29 utility star service orders and 4 underground service alerts. Not a lot of construction going on, so not too many of those. Moving into development projects on the retreats east and north, the project reports is continuing to be redesigned by the developer for potential buyers, which we've heard is Kahov. And then Kahov has actually reached out to us asking a few questions. For Rancho North, the project reports that they're continuing the work on their traffic mitigation study and are looking to get that done by the end of February and intend to get their greenhouse gas study done by the end of March and then submit their notice of preparation. And moving on to the Murrieta Marketplace, really no update going on there. I'm still utilizing the drainage detention basin for their construction BMP. No movement on Legacy Villas and Suites due to weather. Lot 10, plans have been submitted to Coastland for signatures. There has been some work on that, some back and forth between the engineers from the project and Coastland. So that's wrapping up, and we believe they may be moving come spring. Lot 9, we haven't really gotten any information in relation to that, but the developer reported that the project has been approved by the CPAC and design review updates have been submitted to Sacramento County. With the Lot 11 project, which is the Circle K gas station car wash, and I believe it's gonna have a subway as well, potentially, that those projects, the project plans have been finalized and have been submitted to Coastland for signature, and I believe those have been signed off. And the business park, there's no update as it relates to district infrastructure and infrastructure there. They've pretty much gotten that all in. An update to this update is they had a water leak on one of their side of things, so they called us out late on a Friday and we came and shut off their water for them per their request, but nothing other than that. Scrolling down, Amelia, going to the residents of Murrieta Hills East. We haven't gotten any information from the project. However, doing a little bit of research on the Sacramento County Planning website, found some information that they resubmitted. And as I show here on the screenshot from the planning website, it shows that the project is still on hold. But they have resubmitted. If you scroll down even further, Amelia, and keep going, please.
There you go.
This is the plan revision that they have proposed to Sacramento County Planning. And Sacramento County Planning, I think, responded back to the project that the project is still in the pre-application stage and that they've requested more detail and cultural resources study and tree exhibits as it relates to this project, and noted that the project is subject to CEQA as well. But again, we specifically as the district have not received anything from the project recently. On the Riverview project, if you scroll down, Amelia, that project is continuing to go through a lot of back and forth between Coastland Engineering and the engineers for that project as it relates to design. So a lot of comments back for rough grading and those have been submitted back recently. with the general requests of information being on drainage calculations, future easements relating to the project, and just various plan comments to call various things out in plans and get some clarifications on some of the drawings that have been submitted. And then to request that a stormwater pollution prevention plan and waste dust discharge information is submitted to the district when it becomes available, once they submit for that and prior to construction. And so this phase 1A of the package is still under review. And as Tom had mentioned in his staff report as well, that we had a conference call with Sacramento County Planning. I'm not gonna go into that since Tom basically covered it, but that there's a lot of different county departments involved, and those county departments have to coordinate with each other, let alone with outside agencies like ourselves. That we'll be in the mix with that and reporting back to what specific conditions of approvals and mitigated monitoring and reporting plan items that we'll be reporting on back at the improvements committee next month. So, and then I list all those various county departments there here, should you want to read through those. So any questions?
Thank you, Paul. Any questions from directors? Not hearing any. Amelia, do you have any chatting hands or anything like that?
I do have a chat from Mr. John Sullivan. Taco Bell was approved by zoning administrator today. Drive-through is approved with new COA.
Okay, very good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Director Butler.
No, that's okay. I didn't want to interrupt. I just wanted to know if you could hear me. I wanted to say thanks to Tom and Paul for going one step or 10 steps further and getting as much information as they could from the county. Oftentimes we are left scratching our heads because there are so many different areas of the county to work with and to understand what they're doing and coordinate with them as well as them with each other. So thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Amelia, anything else
I have a hand raised.
Sure, go ahead.
Is that you raising your hand, Linda?
No, I was trying to turn it off.
Oh, I'll turn it off. There you go. Okay.
Paul, a couple of things. One, thank you to you and your staff for the storm. Again, trying to be proactive, I'd rather us take the stance that you had in the storm, not fulfill what the forecast was. Again, it just, for us to be in an offensive mode, I think it just prepares us as a community so much more. And so to that extent, thank you to you and your crew. Amelia, as you know, the knucklehead here, as a board member, I did get a direct chat that needs to be read out to the rest of the community. It basically says, Tim, please do not passively bash Jeff Warblin. He's not here to defend himself. I will say something publicly. If you do it again, you can praise Tina without bashing anyone else. To that extent, if that's your perception of what I stated, perception must be reality. So there it is. It's not my intent. My intent is to recognize staff for what they're doing and to be open as I can at my frustrations of where prior staffs absolutely failed the community in numerous areas. And so not getting into personnel issues, I'm going to leave it at that, but I just needed the rest of the board to know that a perception is that I'm bashing a prior district employee. So if board members, or in this case, staff, feel I'm out of line, you can either publicly chastise me now or take care of it offline. Amelia, do you have any other hands or chats or anything?
I do not.
Okay. Paul, thank you. And also, Paul, thank you for having it rain for us. Amelia, I think you're the next one. Review district meetings and dates.
And we are fortunate enough to have a... Oh, that is me. Wait. Ta-da! We do have one special meeting in the month of March because we are changing the time and the date of the Finance Committee meeting. It will be held on March 3rd at 10 a.m. Other than that, our meeting schedule is standard.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Let's see, moving on, we have a presentation. Do we want to, you know what, I'm going to hold off on that, and that's what you're uploading. So give me 1 second on that, Amelia.
We need to talk about number 8 and number 9 correspondence.
That's where I was going. Thank you. Okay. Number 8 is correspondence. Do we have any? And that would either be back to you, Amelia, or to Tom.
None that I know of.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Moving on to number 9, comments from the public. This is an opportunity to speak as a public comment during this period. Amelia, do you have any hands or chatting?
I do not.
Okay. Moving on to item number 10, is which I think you were trying to load for us. Is it you or is it Tom? As a board, we have a
guest speaker, Mr. Dane Waddle. And Dane, will you tell us your title? He works with CSDA.
Yes. Good evening, board members and staff, community. My name is Dane Wadley. I'm a senior field coordinator with the California Special Districts Association. Just wanted to come on tonight, just give the board, staff, obviously, and the community a little update on CSDA, some of the things that we're working on your behalf. Obviously, you've got some of the information from Tom's report about some of our upcoming education opportunities, but wanted to touch base a little bit more on some of our legislative items, that we're working on. So just by virtue of a little bit of background, as you're probably aware, the CSD has been a CSDA member for, well, a number of years, over 20, and certainly appreciate that. And like I said, I'm the, as the field coordinator, I'm the local liaison essentially to the special districts and what's called our Sierra network, which includes Sacramento County and obviously includes the district. So just a little bit of background on that. You can go ahead and scroll up to the next page. Perfect. There's the detail, the gory detail about my background, if you're curious, but long background, state and local government, and been with CSTAs for almost 6 years now in this position. So go ahead and go to the next slide, please. This just gives you a little background on CSDA. Again, we're just over 50 years old now. We do legislative advocacy, obviously cost saving programs, educational offerings, et cetera, for special districts. Go ahead. Just gives you a little bit more information here on our advocacy and public affairs, as an association representing all types of special districts. We take it upon ourselves to obviously represent those districts in Sacramento and Washington, D.C. And then to that end, we've also about 3 or 4 years ago started this District Make the Difference campaign to, help educate communities across the state about special districts, obviously the critical services that that you all provide. We have found there can be some lack of understanding sometimes about, what special districts are and their role as kind of that third leg of the stool in local government with our partners in cities and counties. Go ahead and go to that. So with that, I wanted to just turn to a couple of legislative items that we are following right now. I was joking with another district earlier today that, sometimes you kind of get to ease into a legislative year at in our business, and That hasn't been the case this year. We've just jumped right in full bore. CSDA, as it says there, has these sponsored bills in Congress, and we've led basically a nationwide effort to get financial assistance specifically for special districts from the federal government to basically address, you know, the impacts of COVID-19 on us, right, on districts. So just to give you a little bit of a context, we've done a survey of special districts over the past, you know, it's basically since last year, and have found over $1 billion, about $1.2 billion in impacts, financial, whether it be, you know, lost revenue or increased expenses on special districts. So it's obviously been significant. So as it says there on bullet point 3, it would require the state to distribute a portion of their future COVID-19 allocations to special districts. And we have not been included in previous relief efforts. So for instance, City of Sacramento, County of Sacramento received funding through the CARES Act back in April. But again, you know, districts have not. So we're trying to get these bills included into a package, which is being considered now in Congress and with the new administration on some assistance. So, you know, as I said, kind of say there that second big bullet point, I guess, the take action. We are actively requesting our members and special districts to kind of join our coalition and basically submit either a letter, or we have an online form that you can fill out to, you know, kind of add the district's name to our coalition. And as I said, we literally are working nationally to try to, you know, influence an outcome on this issue. So it's certainly our highest priority at CSDA right now, and working quite hard to get some assistance. So with that, we can go ahead and go to the next one. So then there's the federal advocacy is relatively new for CSDA. Literally, it's been since last year. We've been active in the state capitol for years, and this bill is another example of that. A bill that CSDA is supporting and working with a local government coalition, as it says there, to basically allow a little bit of flexibility for special districts and local agencies in general to hold remote meetings during a declared, as it says there, a state of emergency or a declared local emergency. So we've kind of heard from some of our folks that there's, you know, having this flexibility in law and balancing it with, of course, transparency and public access would be of some benefit. So again, we're pursuing this bill, supporting it. And again, as I said, kind of the request for your district would be to, if you're so inclined, to submit a support letter and join our statewide coalition to hopefully move this bill along. So, and then just wanted to touch real briefly on, you know, again, I gave you two examples of bills there, but just some, you know, ways that the board and staff can get involved in CSDA. We have a weekly e-news that comes out every Tuesday. And hopefully you're subscribed to, and you can see a lot of the issues that we're involved in. Obviously responding to our calls to action. And then we have our CSDA, it's gonna be virtual again this year. Legislative day is coming up where we will have, it's basically a day and a half event where we have some policy panels. We have some speakers from the legislature coming to address our attendees. Traditionally, we would hold the event just across the street from the Capitol, and then we'd actually go over to the Capitol and do some lobbying in the building. But unfortunately, that's not possible. Last year and this year. So I got a link there to the to some more information in the registration. You don't need to go ahead and go on that, but it's available. And then I also, just the last thing I wanted to touch on too is this grassroots mobilization survey. There we go. Thank you. Just so we, you know, as you can tell from my presentation, that we have a extensive advocacy program, and the way that we influence outcomes is by our districts having relationships with their state and now federal officials. So we developed this little quick survey at that link there to essentially, you know, again, survey our members. If you have a relationship with a state elected official, we certainly would like to know about it, because when we have bills of importance two special districts, you know, we can call on this database that we maintain and kind of marshal our members to influence outcomes in the Capitol or in DC. So plenty of ways to get involved. Obviously, I can always contact me as well. I can go to the next last slide there, I think. There's all my good contact information, email, cell phone, and happy to be a resource to the board and staff and whatever way we can, and certainly look forward to coming on in the future and providing some more updates if it fits with your agenda. So I'll go ahead and stop there. Mr. Chair, I appreciate the opportunity to present and look forward to working with you guys further.
Dane, thank you very much for that presentation. I'm gonna turn it to the other board members. Any board members questions for Dane on this? Dane, would you just give us, and it's for really the general public here, just a quick snapshot of truly the number of special districts and examples of what a special district is that you're representing in the state?
Sure, absolutely. So just in terms of numbers, there's approximately 2,000 independent special districts in California, and independent special districts are basically like you, right? In terms of an independently elected board who provides either one or multiple services to a community. So, you know, obviously you guys as a CSD with multiple services, there's water districts, there's, as maybe familiar in the county, many parks and recreation districts who provide services. Fire districts too, right, would be another obvious example that are, you know, elect to be members of CSDA. And I mean, we're obviously a membership association, but we literally do represent the interests of all types of special districts.
Very good. Thank you. And the reason I asked you for that is, you know, when you talked about that $1 billion on the COVID, it does hit a lot of agencies,
right.
And some are very large agencies and some are our size and even smaller. So to that extent, thank you. I know that the leadership we have with the general manager, we're just starting to move this way. So Tom, I have a question for you. I'll make the assumption that we'll be moving forward with what's needed on the letters of support and those types of things. You know, we'll just get that and handle it at the level it needs to be so that we can support from this standpoint. Amelia, do you have any hands or chats or anything?
I do not.
Okay. Dane, thank you. Yes, go ahead, Tom.
I want to thank Dane for taking the time to give us a short presentation. His first PowerPoint had like 40 slides in it, so I asked him to condense it a little bit, but I did want to give him a chance to listen to our meeting and to see what kind of issues we have going on here at Rancho Marietta. And we rely on CSDA constantly. We post job postings at CSDA. We talk to their advocates for financing, for budget preparation. We attend their training, and I think it's a great organization. That support special districts, having seen the organizations that support counties and cities and now special districts, these guys are very up to date. They're very modern with their approach on how they do things. Back in the day, their training center was very, very useful training. So it's a good organization that we belong to, and I intend to take advantage of their opportunities going forward. So thanks a lot, Dane, and appreciate it.
Yes. If you did have 40 slides, I know that Director Janko would not have been able to stay paying attention that long. So thank you for this. I echo Tom's comment. You do good work. I know other special districts that are members of this association, and really it's our voice, and you going national now that adds another advantage that we haven't had as a special district. So Dane, thank you very much. Please have a good evening. And
thank you.
You don't need to hang out anymore. Just accidentally lose the connection here with our meeting. And that'll
very
be
good. Fine. Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks, Dane. Moving on to item number 11, It's consider adoption of policy P2021-02. This is the body worn camera policy. It's an action item. I know it's been in front of us and we've had discussions. Tom, I believe this is you.
Yeah, pretty much. And Tina may want to chime in, but we have, when I became the general manager, I was able to really start focusing on things with security and improvements. One of the things that I saw was our body worn camera policy needed to have it be brought up to date, brought up to what body worn camera systems are ideally designed to accomplish. And while we had body worn cameras before, the transparency of the use, the policies in place were not up to the level that I would think that we should be. And so I got involved in updating this. And then we, of course, brought Tina on board and I was involved in the body camera system from the very beginning at the City of Stockton Police Department. And I know Tina had much involvement long after I left as they improved it and made transparency and the police force a very important aspect of what their public facing activities were. And so we upgraded our cameras to have better storage, have longer battery life. And now we've upgraded the policy to basically work like they're supposed to. You know, when a patrol officer starts his shift, they turn their camera on. And if there's ever an event, they turn their camera on a record mode. So the camera's always kind of cycling through whatever's going on. But once you hit the record mode, it goes back 30 seconds and creates an event. And the events happen until they're over, then the officer can turn it off. And there's an incident that gets recorded. And with the end of their shift, they put their body camera in a docking station. It automatically uploads those events. And while the officer is allowed to review the events, if they want to write the report or if they need to remember something that happened, they're allowed to do so, but they're not allowed to manipulate the data. They can't delete it. They can't shorten it. They can't say, oh, it didn't work. It's transparency in government and it really promotes officer safety and community safety and community awareness that the things that happen when they're interacting with our patrol officers are being filmed. And they are being downloaded and they are being reviewed and we're using it for training purposes. We're using it for any officer involved issues where somebody says this and we can review the video. And it's absolutely one of the best tools in an officer's equipment for making sure that everybody's doing their job correctly and that the citizens are being treated properly and that our officers are also being treated properly. So we have revised the policy. It's been through the security committee. It was approved to go forward. Dick Shanahan asked to take one last look at it, and he's made some minor wordsmithing adjustments in the form of who is allowed to review the video and under what policies we release it. And so there's minor adjustments that Dick made, and they were not substantive to the policy. So I would like to have answer any questions about this and request approval of the policy with the minor adjustments as recommended by our attorney, Dick Shanahan. And I'm open to questions and Tina's available to answer any questions as well.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. Any other board members, comments, questions?
This is Martin. I read it and I'm agreeable with it.
Very good. Thank you, Martin. Any other board members? Okay. Tom, I have a couple of comments. Thank you. I know that you've been working on this for a while, and I agree with you that being able to bring a director of security in to bring it up to the level of expectation that it needs to be is totally warranted and has been needed for an extremely long period of time. So to that extent, thank you to both Tina and yourself. With that being said, I'm going to make a motion
You have a comment. Would you like to take that now? I have a hand raised, actually.
I understand your question. And so now, Mr. Ramos, I have a question for you. Do we take comment before I make it a motion, have a second, we have discussion, or should I take the question now?
It's up to the board's policy and your general procedures, but in my opinion, it's totally fine to take the question ahead of time before the motion. It just depends on your rules of proceedings, and I'm not as familiar with them as your normal counsel.
And that's fine. Usually Mr. Shanahan's, you know, looking through the book, just joking. Don't tell him. Yes. Amelia, whoever has their hand raised, please.
Richard Gears.
Yes. Question, please.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how we can see what changes Mr. Shanahan made.
We can bring those to the next security meeting and we'll show them there.
Okay, it's either that or if the board approves it, it would become a public document and part of our policies. And I thought they were online, but otherwise, yeah, we can get it to you directly, or there's a couple processes that we'll make sure that it's out there.
I just don't want to. I don't know how I could weave through all that and figure out what he changed and what he didn't. So, but for the next meeting would be fine.
Perfect. We can do that. Amelia or Tom, would you make note of that? And we'll specifically address that, please. With that being said, I make a motion to adopt policy P2021-02, which is the body worn camera policy. Can I have a second, please?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Director Paul. Roll call vote. Director Mady.
Aye.
And Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Paul.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Moving on to item 12, this is consider approval for contract with True North, which is a company for security opinion poll services. This is going to be an action item. Tom, I believe this is going to fall to you, please.
You are correct. Thank you very much. This has been a long ways in the works, and we kind of got sidetracked a little bit in December for unexpected issues here internally, but we're back on track. We've gone through the process of receiving four bids to do the security services opinion poll. And we had a group of people, one from the RMA, a person from the commercial, and myself, and who was the fourth person? I forget now, I wrote it down here. But four of us reviewed the RFPs, and we came up with a winner. The scoring sheet is to follow, but basically, Measure J was passed a long time ago, 1998. It provides the two gate officers and a patrol officer 24/7 every day of the year. And over the past probably 10 years, we've started exceeding the cost of running that level of security has exceeded the amount of funding that comes from Measure J. And so over the past year, we've scaled back the excess security we're providing above that what was approved by Measure J. And this year, of course, we're having to allocate 65% of our property tax to support security over the amount that we receive from Measure J. And while that number is going to be reduced from the fact that we reduced our staffing to the required amount, it's still going to be a significant amount of property taxes going forward that are going to be required to fund security at the level as approved by the voters, including all the voters within the Rancho Marietta footprint. So we released this request for proposal in November, and the winner of the agreement was a company called True North. They're out of the Los Angeles area. They scored very highly with our referrals, and their pricing was a little bit more than two of the other companies, but they have far more experience in taking on the referendum that we are potentially going to. So this was presented to the Finance Committee recently, and then now here we are requesting approval to enter into this agreement for $29,502. And there's a contract included that's been signed by True North. And the issue, the big issue is taking a look at the schedule. And so this was taken to the Finance Committee on February 3rd, and here we are on February 17th, the board meeting. If approved, we will begin the project with the stakeholder meetings in March. And to design the stakeholder meetings, we need to start meeting with the vendor, True North. They've done this type of thing in the past, and hopefully the stakeholder meetings can take place in March. And that's gonna result in a questionnaire. So the stakeholder groups are designed to help the polling company, True North, develop their questionnaire when they make their phone calls or they do their types of surveys. And the stakeholder meetings will help us define what the questions will be asking. And I can't tell you what those are going to be. I can only tell you that's why we have the stakeholder meetings. In general, there's a level of service that's provided with Measure J funding, and that will be one of the questions. Is this what you expect? I'm sure that the questions may go, would you expect less if you didn't have to pay more, if you didn't have to use your property tax money to help support security? And then if you want to beef up security, if you want to have more patrol officers, this is how much it would cost each month additional into what you're currently paying. And what happens after that is the poll is conducted, and hopefully that happens in April. And then we come back to the Finance Committee in May, early May, with the presentation or the recommendations from the report, and then it will come to the board hopefully by May 19th. It might push out to June because of whatever reasons, but if we determine that, if the pollsters determine that raising security fees a certain amount in order to achieve what the majority of the people within Rancho Marietta, majority of the voters within Rancho Marietta want out of a security department, if that level of expected vote exceeds 66.7%, then we might possibly go out to a voter referendum maybe in the fall of 2021. A voter referendum is going to cost the district, you know, between $150,000 and $200,000 between the amount we have to pay the county to run a special election and the amount of money that generally is anticipated to be spent to market the election. Because if you hold it, you want it to be successful. So if we do go to referendum to either supplement Measure J or to replace Measure J, we want to go in there with a high level of confidence that we will, that the election will pass. If you scroll down a little bit or up, whichever way you see the chart, here's how the scoring went. We had four respondents, and these would be available on our webpage, their responses. A company called the ETC Institute, the FM3 Research, Great Blue Research, and True North Research. And the scoring was based on adherence to the instructions, the technical assessment, the quality of the staff. Does the plan make sense to meet our expectations? Do previous projects align with our needs? Our reference checks, the budget clearly discussed, estimated price, overall project understanding. As you can see, FM Research scored 401, True North scored 414, and the other two companies, Great Blue and ETC, did not score in the 400s and were not considered because those companies were not prepared to deal with what we're going to dole out here at Rancho Marietta. So I'm open to questions. I don't know if there's going to be a lot or if there's comments. And then I would go back to the board and request approval to award the contract and authorize me to sign the agreement and begin the project. My presentation.
Thank you, Tom. Very, very good on that. It makes sense to me from that standpoint. Before I make a motion to move forward with it, Amelia, do you have any chats or hands or anything, please?
I do. I have one hand raised for Richard Gears.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Hi. I was going through that scoring matrix, and I was surprised how low the reference check was for True North. Is there any explanation for that? We're not going to get some kind of surprise, are we?
Tom, I think that would be to you.
No, if you want me, I'd have to check into why that score for True North references was a score of 2. I'd have to get back to you on that, Richard.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, you're satisfied that we can get back to you offline on that?
Yeah, I'm happy with the decision. I'm just kind of surprised by that one thing.
Okay, very good. Thank you. With that being said, I make a motion to consider approval of contract with True North for security opinion polls. Do I have a second?
Yeah, it's John. I'll do it.
Thank you.
Roll call vote. President Mady.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Okay, and I do believe that Ms. Tina Talamantes, who's here with me, has a comment.
Yes, please go ahead.
So the True North was a 3 and Great Blue should be a 2. I have the actual scoring sheets right here that I did for the reference checks. So those are transposed.
Yeah, and it could have been that I transposed those numbers because I believe I filled this out. So I apologize.
No, don't apologize. That makes sense if we transpose them. For the life of me, I can't remember who asked the question, but if that, okay. So if that answers your question, great. If you still need some follow-up, please just contact staff offline and we'll get the information moving forward. Thank you, Tina. Thank you. I'm sorry.
I have a comment, if I may.
Oh, yes, please.
Crystal Matter, apologies if I missed this. When will you be convening the stakeholder groups? Who will be a part of those groups? And to what extent will their comments become part of the questions to the residents via the survey?
Tom, do you want to handle that? Do you want me?
No, I can handle that. Can you hear me? We're going to meet with True North and help design how all those questions are going to be addressed. And then we will start putting information out. And I'm guessing we'll put information out in a variety of ways. First of all, our web page. And we will report back through the Finance Committee on March 3rd what our progress is to date. So this the Finance Committee is running this RFP, and we'll report back to that group regularly, and it will be on our webpage.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom. Moving on to
Ms. Matter said that does not address my question.
In that case, the best I could probably say is I would either need that question verbally asked or put in writing to staff, and then staff can specifically answer the question directly to the person asking it from that standpoint. Moving on to item number 13. For those that weren't here earlier, item 13 has been pulled off of the agenda. There was confusion on my part on understanding how the Parks Committee for the Rancho Marietta Association actually functions and procedural type issues. So item number 13 has been pulled off the agenda earlier in the meeting. Moving forward, that's going to take us to
if I may.
Yes, sir, please.
I have a chat and a hand raised. Ms. Crystal Matter, I'd be happy to verbalize it now.
Yes, that's fine. I'm not sure what the question is, but yes.
So you previously, the CSD board, and Tom, I think you did this on multiple occasions, publicly stated that there would be stakeholder groups and that their comments would be incorporated into the RFQ process, and that would happen prior to the questions being generated. And so my concern is, and the questions have not been addressed here, is whether there will be stakeholder groups, when those groups will meet, and if their comments will be taken into consideration when the questions are formulated for the RFQ process. Is CSD now going back on that position and saying that won't happen?
I think I understand the question. Tom, I'll let you answer it, and then I will give a follow-up, or I can go first. It's up to you.
No, I'll answer it. The stakeholder groups are designed to create the survey tool. That's what they do. They go to meet with the stakeholders. They develop the questionnaires for what the opinion poll is going to gather. And that's the questionnaire. That's the poll. It's directly from the stakeholder groups.
Does that address the question you're asking?
So there is still an intention by CSD to formulate stakeholder groups and have those meetings prior to the survey being designed.
That is correct. Okay. That's exactly what the stakeholder groups are meant to.
Sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to talk over. Yes, that is what CSD, so your question of is CSD going back on their word? Let me make that painfully clear as I can. The answer is no. If I understood your question before you modified it, it was on the RFQ process. Were we going to have stakeholders in that process to identify what company we're going to go with? And we did, in fact, reach out to stakeholders. The general manager mentioned who those stakeholders were and who they represented. So CSD is not going back on their word. We're moving forward with the process. As the general manager said, this is a fiscal issue. And so the oversight's going to fall to the finance committee as we move it forward. So hopefully that addresses those issues. Amelia, do you have any other hands or chats or anything at this point?
I do not, thank you.
Okay. Tim, it's John. I just have one comment, if I could.
Oh, yeah, please.
Just to specifically address Crystal's question, I voted for this specifically because, from my standpoint, this met the criteria that, for me personally, I set out, and I know Crystal has that because I conveyed that publicly in writing. I think this is exactly what we envisioned it would be. We brought in folks to consider the quote itself. We're about to bring in folks to consider the questionnaire. So I don't, like you, Tim, I agree. I haven't come off one iota of what we visioned this was going to look like from the beginning. And it's just going to go where it goes. I mean, we're not doing this to convince us to do one thing or the other. We're trying to find out exactly what the community wants us to do. And a lot of that is definitely related financially to what we want to do. And that's why it's in the finance committee. So I'm completely convinced we're where we want to be on this.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, John. And just for everybody's edification, John is, Director Merchant, is one of the directors, along with Martin Pohl, on the finance committee. And that's where the responsibility for this, obviously with staff, is going to rest as we move it forward. So thank you for that. Moving on to item 14, director comments, suggestions. I'm gonna open it up to the other directors, if you would, please.
I have no comments. This is Martin. No comments.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. Then I'll just kind of run down the list. Director Butler?
I'm okay.
Thank you. Director Merchant?
Only that 35 years ago today, I moved into my house, and the day I moved in, the river was running. By midnight, the river was running at 44,700 cubic feet per second.
In that case, we would need smaller pumps in less time, if my math is correct, but Paul could correct me.
Yes, on that day, we had exactly what we had now. Everyone was working from home.
Yeah, exactly. Different reason. Very good. Randy.
I don't have anything.
Very good. Thank you. Just a couple of things, and I've mentioned it as specific staff members have moved through their reports. And that was kind of, we're at a point now with the district where we're starting to get proactive on numerous things. And I'll pick just a simple storm front that came through. We had the leadership where it needed to be to make the decisions and move forward. And a perfect example is having the GM get us on the County Next Door app, and we're able to push out information and do those types of things. I think Paul said it best when he was giving kudos to RMA, specifically maintenance division. You know, we worked very well with them on numerous issues. This is just a perfect example of how we get things done in spite of a knucklehead like me as an elected official getting in the way of stuff. So Tom, to you, thank you for getting us where the ship is righted in the right direction. And like I said, I'll take the Nextdoor app as a good example. So with that, I would like to thank everybody at staff, specifically Amelia. Thank you for doing the job that you do for us with this hosting. And please travel safe. Say hi to Mickey. Goofy's going to look a lot like Director Janko, so you'll recognize him. But with that, I'd like to adjourn the meeting, which takes us to item number 15. It's a roll call vote.
Well, sir, I take that as you making a motion. I would like a second, please.
It is a motion. Can I have a second?
I'll second it. This is Linda.
Thank you, Linda. Roll call vote. President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Jacob.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Yes.
Thank you.
That adjourns the meeting. Mr. Ramos, thank you. Thank you to staff, and thank you to everybody from the public that participated. Have a good evening.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.